You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
Get ready right now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Live from Las Vegas, home of Super Bowl 58.
You know, the game manager stuff,
that's crazy.
Again, Rich, it's a compliment. The people need to stop using it as a slur.
The Rich Eisen Show, covering the biggest game. With the biggest guest, Pro Football Hall of Famer and four-time Super Bowl champion Joe Montana, Raiders defensive end Max Crosby, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes. Day number two of our residency here at the Super Bowl in Las Vegas, Nevada. Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show live on the Roku channel from Las Vegas at the TurboTax studio. We have got a great show in store for you over the next 3 hours from the Super Bowl experience. I'm your humble host. We are thrilled to be here now, 4 days before toe meets ball between the Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. I'd like to say hello to my buddies that are here with me. Chris Brockman, Rich, good to see you.
What's up, brother?
TJ Jefferson, good to see you.
What's up, Rich? What's up, guys?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts.
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
Spinning wheels.
Second night of the residence.
Oh, very good. Good to see you guys here. Our guest list, we are so fired up today. First up is Joe Montana. It's the San Francisco 49ers back in the Super Bowl. Of course, we got to speak to Joe. And then he gets up, Max Crosby of the Las Vegas Raiders sit down. Then it's hour number two. Deion Sanders kicks off the second hour. He gets up and two of his former Cowboy teammates sit in there. You ready for this one, TJ Jefferson? Emmett and Irv together. Two-thirds of the triplets together. And then Charles Woodson shows up in hour number three. Kurt Warner in hour number three as well. And then throughout the entire show, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine.
Oh.
I met this friend 20 years ago because this is my 21st Super Bowl here with the NFL Network, our 10th with the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, man.
And he frequently hangs with us during our Super Bowl shows whenever we get a chance to say hello. Say hello to my friend Vince, who's right here on our program, on our set.
Vinny.
There he is right there. Can we get a nice tight shot of Vince? Because this is the real thing.
Woo!
That's the real thing.
So
will
pretty.
Chiefs hands touch that? Or Niners hands touch that on Sunday. That is the Vince Lombardi trophy. This is why we lift all them scripts and the television sports TV business right here. The best, if you will, set dressing in all of sports television. It's something I don't take for granted, my relationship with the NFL, which I've loved since 2003, and now here we are. It's going to be so great to just say to Joe Montana, you know, instead of what's it feel like to win the Super Bowl, how it feel like to touch that trophy?
Four times.
Now, let me tell you a real quick story, because the NFL Network, when we did Total Access at the Super Bowl year after year after year, when we launched NFL Network, it was Super Bowl, our second Super Bowl. And I bring this up not only because it involves a Vince Lombardi trophy, but it was the Super Bowl in Jacksonville between New England and the Eagles. And it was Andy Reid's first Super Bowl. And it was also the last time we saw a repeat champion crowned. That was the last time. And we could see that. And Andy Reid could be that guy on Sunday to be the head coach of a repeat champion Kansas City Chiefs team. And we had that Vince Lombardi trophy on our set live. Howie Long showed up with Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Because Fox was broadcasting the Super Bowl. As a matter of fact, it was Joe Buck's first ever Super Bowl that he called, and he was in the booth with Troy Aikman and Chris Collinsworth, a three-man booth for that Super Bowl. That's how long ago all this stuff was. And we had the trophy on our set. And I asked Terry Bradshaw the question that I am planning on asking Joe Montana. What's it like to touch that trophy? And four times. How many other guys can you ask that to, right? At the time, there was only two, right. Montana and Bradshaw. Had no idea that Brady was about to win his second in a row on the way to getting seven. So I asked that of Bradshaw. He says, well, you know, it was great. And he got up and he went to grab it. Now, you're only allowed to touch the trophy if you've won it on the day you've won it, or if you're the commissioner of the NFL handing it off.
Yep.
The only way you're allowed to touch the trophy otherwise is if you put on these white gloves that comes with the trophy. And Bradshaw, doesn't matter that he's won it four times before, he didn't have gloves on. And he went to touch it, and somebody who guards the trophy in a yellow slicker jacket jumped on the set.
What?
Like she was a member of the Secret Service intercepting a bullet. Yes. And this is the President of the United States.
Wow.
Stopped him on the air and told him to put it down. And I was, so whenever you might like look at me, TJ, like you're looking at me right now and say, sometimes you're wondering how I'm not phased sometimes by what happens on live TV. Like say Keegan-Michael Key wanting to play cornhole at the drop of a hat to start our show yesterday.
Okay.
It's because I've lived through moments like that.
You're like, do you know who he is?
We told her. It's like, it's okay. It's
fine,
all right. Like, honestly, everyone had to go back to their corners and back down.
Wow.
I'll never forget that moment. And Howie was just
funny.
Like shaking his head like, that's what Terry's, you know, that's what Terry's like.
Yeah.
So at any rate, we've got the Vince Lombardi trophy here. And it's so sweet. I could see my reflection in it right now. I could see you guys all the way over there from the football. So we've got the Vince Lombardi trophy here, as I mentioned, for all 3 hours. If you're listening, we'll put all of this stuff on our YouTube feed, youtube.com/RichEisen Show. Same thing to those who are listening to this show on our podcast. Every single day, all 3 hours are available through the Cumulus Podcast Network. Cumulus is also our radio partner. So we say hello to our terrestrial radio listeners. We say hello to Sirius XM Odyssey, and of course, to our Roku channel streaming live audience, as well as those who watch us back every single day when we're done on channel 210 on the Roku channel. And stay tuned all weekend long. We've got a Rich Eisen Show big game, big bonus special. Brent Musburger is going to be on that.
Woo.
Sam Hartman of Notre Dame football.
Tough two-shot, Rich.
Just trying to get you. It's going to be tough.
Tough two-shot.
I know. Yeah. It is. But again, I'm not fazed by it because I've had two shots with Tom Brady.
Of course.
When I showed up in my finest Xenia threads for that one, and it looked like I was wearing a burlap sack. And then Puka Nacua is going to stop by.
That's my guy.
Puka the only one missing is like Troy Polamalu for the all-hair special.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
So we're going to balance out Puka and Sam Hartman on that
the
one.
The best we can.
All right, so before Joe Montana arrives, I want to get to how both of these teams got here based on what happened on the field. During the playoffs, yes, but on the way to making themselves either the one seed in San Francisco or a team that could beat the top seeds in the playoffs, even though Kansas City used to being a one seed, was not this year. And that's how I'm going to get to my top five impactful on the field moves presented by TurboTax here on the Rich Eisen Show. So I've got a top five. Hit it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, Mike, give me my music, which is even better now that I've got the Vince Lombardi trophy to my left. No, give me the real deal, Mike.
Do you want
the real deal? What's going on here?
Take us on here.
I guess we didn't have this conversation pre-show.
Plus, you didn't say give me my theme music.
Give me my theme music. There you go. Very good. All right, top five impactful on the field moves. I'm going to start. Number five is the 49ers' vengeful return to Philadelphia in Week 13. Let's not forget the NFC Championship game in which Brock Purdy blew out his arm. And then there was a lot of lip flapping. There was a lot of talking from the San Francisco locker room. Certainly, from Debo Samuel's point of view. Remember, we had Hassan Reddick of the Eagles on during the training camp season. Well, bottom line is Hassan Reddick had this game circled because the Niners had this game circled and the Eagles had this game circled, and the 49ers went into this game and just absolutely blew the doors off of Philadelphia in the rematch. And Philadelphia was coming into this game on a 5-game win streak. That actually happened. The Eagles were 10-1 in this game, and the Niners came in, and Brock Purdy had a heck of a day. 314 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. McCaffrey had a touchdown on the ground and 93 yards, and Debo backed up his talk with a 3-touchdown day. 116 yards in the air and 2 scores there, and 1 rushing touchdown, all in the second half. San Francisco fell down 6-0 after one, then scored the next 21. And after the game, if you remember, Nick Bosa said, I think we're showing everyone we have a blueprint to beat Philadelphia. And then Philadelphia lost that game and wound up losing 6 of their last 7, including the playoffs. Yep. So that was an impactful on-the-field move, not just for the Niners, but to maybe show everyone that the defending NFC champs could be beaten, and a lot of other teams did. Number 4 on the list is Chris Jones shoves Josh Allen's pass protection into Josh Allen. The divisional round game in Buffalo, Kansas City was up by 3. Buffalo was driving off of the 2-minute warning, 2nd and 9 from the Kansas City 26. Chris Jones shoves Deion Dawkins into Josh Allen's foot space, and Khalil Shakir, who was wide open in the end zone, Allen couldn't step through on his throw, an incomplete pass, next down an incomplete pass, next down was a missed field goal wide right, and we all know what happened after that. Kansas City took over the game, took some knees, and that was the end of that. Chris Jones, that on-field move from, by the way, the end position, normally he's positioned inside the middle of that defensive line, that was a crucial move to place him right there on the edge, and then obviously him moving Deion Dawkins into Josh Allen's space created a moment where Allen couldn't give Buffalo the lead, and Kansas City took the lead all the way to the AFC Championship game. Number 3 on my top 5 impactful off-the-season moves is the Week 10 visit for San Francisco to Jacksonville. Let's not forget San Francisco lost 3 games in a row and then sat on that 3-game losing streak in a bye week and came off the bye and visited North Florida, visited Duval County. Coming into this game, it was also an early window game. It's one of those games where the West Coast teams usually might have an issue, certainly, again, if you hadn't won a game in a month. And San Francisco went in there and beat the brakes, as Deion Sanders, our second hour guest, might say, off of Jacksonville, which was coming into this game 6-2, San Francisco at 5-3. And this one play in particular is number 3. It's a 66-yarder from Brock Purdy to George Kittle, the second snap of the second half. Go and take a look at this play on the old internet tubes, if you wish. Purdy is in the pocket. He pump fakes. And when he pump fakes, he knows the Jacksonville pass rush is going to hit him in the chops. He takes the lick. He throws it perfect dime to Kittle, who goes 66 yards for the touchdown. And that started the boat race in Jacksonville, Florida. That's number 3 on my top 5 most impactful on the field moves list. Number 2 is Patrick Mahomes' 9-second scramble and Travis Kelce's diving catch in Baltimore in the AFC Championship game that had just been freshly tied by Baltimore. It's 7-7. The ball is on Baltimore's 27, 3rd and 5. Just when the Ravens think this long drive, this is the 11th play of the Kansas City drive, they might actually stop Kansas City and get Mahomes off the field. Instead, he runs around for 9 seconds, flips the ball up in the air, and Kelce makes a diving catch going away from the pocket towards the end zone with 2 hands. It's an unbelievable play, potentially the greatest play we have seen in the playoffs right now. That's number 2 on the list. Number 1 is the entire second half of the San Francisco 49ers NFC Championship game.
Makes sense.
Victory. I can't even choose. I mean, if right? You want to choose one play, obviously it's Kendall Vildor trying to make an interception of Brock Purdy. Instead, the ball goes off of his helmet, winds up in the hands of Brandon Ayuk. We're calling it the Ayuk oop here. But the 21-7 deficit that they had at 1.24, it was a 17-point deficit that the 49ers were facing. It was the largest comeback, tied the largest comeback in the history of the NFC Championship game, and they made those 17 points up all in an 8-minute span in the third quarter. Brock Purdy had 48 yards rushing. He was stupendous, and that was my most impactful on-the-field move of the entire season to take these two teams here to Las Vegas, Nevada. And sure, why not, George?
All right, we'll get one more.
I'll go with one more. I'll give you two more, all in one. Marquez Valdez-Scantling's playoff catches, yep. Both of them. We'll start in the division round. In the AFC divisional round victory over Buffalo, Kansas City was trailing this game late in the third quarter with a minute to go in the third from the Buffalo 48. Mahomes found Valdez-Scantling for 32 yards. It set them up for what wound up being three snaps later into the fourth quarter. The go-ahead touchdown, 27-24, as we all know, that wound up being the final score. And we all know Valdez-Scantling had one bounce off his hands against Green Bay. It was emblematic of the entire season's woes that Kansas City had offensively. And this catch helped give Kansas City a lead, get them to the AFC Championship game, which was wrapped up with 2:17 to go from the Kansas City 4th and 6, 3rd and 9, just when you thought that the Chiefs might just run the ball to try and get the ball to get the clock to the 2-minute warning, try and run this clock out or force Baltimore to take its remaining timeouts. They go up top to who else Valdez-Scantling for? Guess what? 32 yards, the same number of yards he got in that catch in Buffalo. That helped seal the deal. It was victory formation from there, and those are my top five impactful off-the-field moves with two extra, presented by TurboTax. Like football, life is all about making moves, and when you file with TurboTax, you've got the tools, experts, and services needed to make your moves count. Did I miss anything, gents? Did I miss anything right there?
Those last two, you hit it all, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, the idea with the second half of the NFC Championship game, I think you nailed that. Can't think of anything else. Yeah.
I mean, I looked at San Francisco's regular season, because the playoffs haven't been great for them.
Right.
Well, with the exception of those other I mentioned,
they finished strong.
The big finish. Kansas City's regular season, I really couldn't pick anything out. You couldn't I guess the scoop and score in London was pretty big. In Germany that I called was pretty big. That was one in particular, but
I felt like that was a little too
early. But they were already
season.
Up in that game.
Yeah.
Although, you know, Miami was driving to make it much closer at halftime, and instead of them getting at least three out of it, Kansas City got seven,
yeah.
And that was their final scoring of the day. But I don't quite grasp. You can't say that their week 17 victory over the Chargers, where they got in the winning column and they haven't lost since that Christmas Day game because of that win. I couldn't pick that one out as a move in any way, shape, or form.
Maybe losing to the Raiders on Christmas Day was kind of the kick in the pants that they needed to right the ship just before the postseason.
I guess, but how many pants kicks could this team take before they finally found the switch?
Agreed.
You know what I mean? Like, that was my problem, is like I couldn't pinpoint the flip switch moment. Certainly not in the regular season. It happened, I guess, in the cold against Miami in the wild card round. But at any rate, let's take a break. Joe Montana's making his way to our set. Then we have Max Crosby with Deion Sanders following him. We're off and running here on our Thursday show, live from Las Vegas, Nevada.
On the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, co-host David Green and Rob Abasolo interview real estate investors and entrepreneurs about successes, failures, and hard-earned lessons. Joined by author Dave Meyer.
Who wrote a book?
I did write a book.
It seems like you're coming out with a book every 4 minutes.
You're one to talk. You've released 2 books this year. I've done half as many as you.
It is more about strategy than it is about just finding whatever the new buzzword happens to be.
Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather. Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Tillotesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Margie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on the show, Joe Montana is making his way to the convention center, and then he'll join us live in the middle of our segment when the radio audience returns. And then Max Crosby will join us. Deion, Dion hasn't seen you in a while, Mike.
No, and I got my blenders with me this time.
Oh, you do have your blenders with you.
Well, I'm going to sign the
front. He said that's so creepy.
Yeah, well, that was creepy. Didn't Levitard once call him out for that?
Oh, yeah.
Because I forget what it was. But it was years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike was making all these weird noises in the background.
That's what I do. And didn't they make a video of it?
Well, they played a clip from our show, and they were like, who's that guy making the noises in the background?
Yeah, I know, right.
It was pretty funny.
I mean, am I creepy?
No, I mean, you didn't say it creepy like that.
Oh, when I get like
But he hasn't seen you since you've dropped a few LBs.
No.
So knowing him, he'll point that out.
Of course. He's my God, I love Dion.
Right?
Nobody loves Del Tufo. Everybody. Kevin Burkhart was on Monday. He walked out to the set. First thing he said. Where's Del Tufo? Didn't even say hi to anyone. Hey, where's Mike?
I'm that guy.
You are that guy, Mike.
We love
you. I don't mind being that guy. That Vince Lombardi trophy is I love that thing. I just can't stop staring at that thing every time. And never gets old.
Yeah, I know. It never does. It is.
It's so cool. That Stanley Cup is beautiful.
Stanley Cup's big, man.
It's huge. Yeah, because there's only one.
You've drank
out of it. I held it.
You have to have it. I did drink.
Well, someone has to do it for you.
Yeah. I believe Kopitar. The only what you have to, in order to win it, you have to. Only people
who can win it, who have won it, can lift it over their head.
Right. Yeah.
And if they're doing the drink around thing, someone who's won it has to pour it into your mouth.
Right.
That's a
smart. Yeah, this one, I guess, Kelsey could shotgun a beer off it?
I mean, Gronk was hitting baseballs, man.
Oh, my God. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Joe Montana is making his way to our set right now. Again, the Vince Lombardi trophy is here to my left in between the guests. I guess it's a good thing this isn't here on our Friday show. When Gronk is here,
because
Gronk actually dented Edelman pitched it to him.
Yeah. They were doing
the opening day
thing at Fenway.
Right.
Yep. And they were just kind of warming up in the background because Edelman didn't want to dirt
it. Yeah.
And then Gronk put the trophy out there and kind of like
bunted it.
Put a huge dent in it, and I think they left it.
Yeah. So good thing it's not here when Gronk and Edelman are here together on Friday's show. You know who's handing this out on? It's interesting. Years ago, I believe it was an executive with the league named Frank Sapovitz,
who
came from the NHL and wanted to add some sort of a mystique to the presentation of the Vince Lombardi.
That's when it got its own song with that.
So
that was all
part of what they ended up doing is they ended up creating a moment where a past winner that has a connection to either the Super Bowl city or there's some sort of anniversary to them winning, brings the trophy to the podium and, walks through like a gauntlet of the winners,
so
and they reach out and they touch it,
It's so cool.
That's really cool.
So they added that to the presentation.
How long ago was that?
Great question. I think it might have been.
Was it the Giants?
I think it was the one in Tampa because they had Joe Namath do it. The reason why I know Namath did it, I think he was the first to bring it in, is because he was on the set with us in Tampa at that Super Bowl beforehand, and I hugged him on live TV. And I'll never forget that. But this year it's Larry Zonka
who's
doing it because this is unbelievable. He was the MVP of Super Bowl VIII.
Wow.
It's 50 years.
That's insane.
Wow.
It's the 50th anniversary, so Larry Zonka is going to be the one to first touch this trophy on Sunday and bring it in and put it up on the podium and hand it to the commissioner, who they'll either hand it to the Chiefs or the 49ers.
Oof, that's pretty cool.
Wow.
So pretty wild story on all that. You can stream the Super Bowl, fresh reminder, you can stream the Super Bowl live on Westwood One's coverage of the National Football League, courtesy of AutoZone. Just want to make sure that you are a reminder, you can hear every minute of Westwood One's broadcast live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms and get in the zone with AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. How did you guys do last night? Anybody up still? Everybody up?
Well, Rich, yesterday when I told you I was up 80,
$5?
Yes.
Well, to quote Bradley Cooper from The Hangover, I messed up.
Oh, no.
I messed up. That's where we're at.
So if you're, so tomorrow, if you're not here, we should look for you on a mattress somewhere,
up on the roof,
on the top of a hotel.
The roof.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Okay. If we don't find you,
Rich, I think I had I've been playing sports my whole life. I've had a lot of great achievements on the field. I think I had my greatest athletic achievement of my life last night.
Oh, what is that?
At the craps table. I think I know what Tom Brady felt like in the second half of 28-3. It was unbelievable. I rolled for 40 minutes.
40 minutes?
They were chanting for me. The vibes were so high. Some of the dudes noticed I was wearing my Red Sox hat, started chanting Jim Rice at me, and we were doing it for Jimmy Rice all night. It was unbelievable.
Here's the deal, Rich.
And the thing is, I can't be making this up because there was a witness.
It pains me to admit that, yes, every word he just said was true. This man got hot. He was like the Human Torch to the Fantastic Four. He rolled. It was less than an hour, but definitely more than half an hour. And he was on fire at the crab's table last night. And he's right. Somehow the Jim Rice name got evoked.
It was
the entire crap's table, every time Brockman would roll a good hand, Jimmy Rice! Yeah, and guys are jumping up and down
every
and
time we hit
each
a
other.
Point, we were hugging and high-fiving.
I sat there at one point, and I went, you think Jim Rice is sitting somewhere right now going, why are my ears burning? Like, but
must have hot dice.
Yeah, he was on fire.
We honestly could have been a Welcome to Las Vegas commercial with how much the vibes were high.
And it was like a United Colors of Benetton ad, too. It was man of all ages, ethnicities, colors, just grabbing each other, hugging.
It was the greatest moment of my life.
Bonding over money and gambling.
Are you serious? It was that good, huh?
It was great.
Yeah, he did his thing last night.
I had a different experience last night.
Your experience,
I can't wait.
Well, definitely topped mine. As great as mine was.
I hear you, and I'll raise you too at the Sphere.
Oh, yeah.
I just have to tell everybody out there that if you have an opportunity to see this performance in this location, it's you got to do it. I've never, I'll say words I haven't said into this microphone before.
Uh-oh.
I got to give it up to James Dolan.
Wait.
Oh, my God. That hurt.
Are
you okay?
This is the biggest thing ever.
I got to give it up to you, James Dolan.
What the hell going on?
I know.
There's no other drop.
I appreciate that.
Wow.
This is truly one of the most incredible experiences I have ever seen. I have never seen, obviously, you know, when you walk into an orb and sit down, and I honestly do not understand the technology or comprehend how
insane.
They can change the environment in a room from daylight to darkness to just a psychedelic background to beaming the band members up onto the Sphere walls and make you feel like you're in an immersive experience. And then obviously you add in the music of U2.
It's amazing.
And Bono is as great as ever, and The Edge, and all of them, you know. Absolutely superb.
Yeah.
And you saw it, what, a couple of weeks ago,
right? The second week, October. In October, it was unbelievable. It's amazing. And the Dead are going to do it. The new Dead, I should say, are going to do residency. And then I think Fish.
Yeah,
and I think Harry Styles, I think, is also.
Right.
Wow.
Adam Clayton is phenomenal. I mean, they're as good as they have ever been at U2. And then one more time. First of all, it is a perfect addition to the Vegas skyline.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's truly unlike anything I've ever seen. And then you go in. It was just easy to find your seat.
Yeah.
You sit down and you feel like you're just in a different planet. You don't.
It feels like you're going on a spaceship when you're walking in. Am I right?
I've never been on a spaceship. I can only imagine.
I'm a rocket man, Rich. I know all.
If I did go on a spaceship, it did feel like I was going on a ride.
Yeah, like a ride, you know? Right? An amusement
like
park ride.
You're going on on a ride. Without the
that
buckling
music
in.
Playing and the lights,
but there are times where they can, I guess, beam this data on the walls of the sphere and make it seem like the ceiling's coming down.
Yeah.
Like you're suddenly not in an orb, you're in a rectangle. I honestly do not know how they do it, and it is just absolutely mind-blowing. And even to the point where I normally I'm, you know, that old man of getting off my lawn type thing, where I would be very upset that the individuals in front of me, I can't see the stage because I'm watching their phones shoot the stage. But you couldn't blame anybody.
Yeah, you can't.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the pictures you were sending us last night as it was happening and then what you showed us this morning, never seen anything like it. Incredible.
Truly spectacular. I've never seen anything quite like it before.
So, just a weird thing, like seating-wise, could you recline back and like in your seats?
No, actually, the seat keeps you upright.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. The seat keeps you completely upright. And, oh, look who's joining us right here on the show.
Hey.
Again, you should see it. Good to see you, Joe. How are you? Take a seat.
Good to see you.
What a pleasure to see you.
You
How
too.
Are you, Joe Montana? Pro Football Hall of Famer. Good
I'm
to see you.
Hanging in there?
Yeah.
How about you?
I am great. Just hanging with an old friend of yours?
Oh, yeah. There's one of those things. I've seen those before.
Do you have a replica of the trophy?
Joe? No.
You don't?
No.
You didn't never did one of those things?
No.
Huh?
I should. I never thought about it, though.
I think, you know, it's never too late. You can get one, I'm sure. You probably know the right people to call for that sort of thing.
Maybe.
Okay. It's good to see you.
You too.
What is it, what's going through your head in a Super Bowl week? Any memories come through at all? Or you're ready to go as a fan? What are you doing this week?
Yeah, I mean, this week is, like right now, those mm-hmm. guys are probably going crazy. What is today, Wednesday?
It's Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday, I think the families all come in.
Right.
Either Thursday or Friday. And then all hell breaks loose.
Right.
I don't like my seats. I want to go to this party. I want to go to that party. I don't like my room. I want to just like.
You would get those calls during the Super Bowl week?
No, I was lucky because Jennifer handled those things.
She was the wall?
For me, yeah. She was great. She just let me do what I needed to do this week. And, you know, the weeks leading up, the days leading up to this, they're ready to go. I mean, they were ready to go.
Joe Montana again just sat down here. He's joining us on behalf of Pfizer, and we'll get to that in a moment. So where do you stand on the subject matter of Brock Purdy, Joe, as you know that everybody keeps talking about?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're talking about. The guy's playing pretty good football, mm-hmm. and everybody's, you know, still doubting him. And I just think that he understands this offense. He understands the people around him and the things he doesn't force balls, but he doesn't have to. But you can always tell when a guy is comfortable in an offense when he's playing like Brock's playing. And the one thing I always say, that don't second guess him, second guess the draft. I mean, Brady's proof that they haven't figured out how to draft, right? Mm-hmm. What's important, what isn't important, because you just don't know who's going to make that transition. And I don't know why people were second-guessing him. I think there was a stretch there where they struggled. And this is just me saying this because I don't know. I don't hang around down there.
Mm-hmm.
But he just wasn't the same person. I don't know whether he was hurt, a little injury here or there or what. But he just didn't look the same. And then all of a sudden, it came back.
Yeah, he got concussed in one game, I thought. And then he didn't miss a start.
Yeah,
but he definitely didn't look as sharp as he normally looks.
Yeah, and he's playing well right now.
So when you watch him play, do you dissect, thinking what, you know, where the ball should go, what he should do, and
no, it's hard to do that unless you know the offense.
Sure.
And I don't know Kyle's offense. I know that I try to sit. I love being in the end zone up high watching games.
Sure.
And so you get to see from behind kind of feel that you're used to seeing,
yes.
Not from a sideline view. People like the 50-yard line. I like the right down the middle of that goal post. So you can see the offense. You can see the holes open up. You can see the receivers and those holes opening. And you try to watch and do it, but the ball comes out quick for him, and he's making quick decisions.
And then, you know, the other side has a guy named Patrick Mahomes, And
who?
Right. I can give you a research packet on him if you need. I've got pages and pages and pages, and it just appears that we can now confirm he has an ability to raise his level of game, or his focus, his awareness, and you are one of the few humans on the planet that knows how that must feel. So how does one do that in the playoffs, Joe?
You know, you want the person who wants the ball, right? You want he has that mentality that he doesn't care what the score is. He doesn't care if they're winning or if they're losing. He's playing on that same level. And he doesn't, and when they're in behind, you know, you would get people who go, hope we run the ball. You know, he's not like that. And you could just see in his demeanor, like I said, even when they're winning, he has that same look in his eye and the feel. I mean, this is what it's about right here, coming down this stretch and the way he's been playing. And, you know, you keep looking around. I keep going, why do they keep getting rid of all these guys around him, the receivers and running backs, and then the new groups come in, and it doesn't seem to affect him at all. And if somebody said, well, where do you put him in the league? I go, he's in a whole another category. He's a freak in the way he plays. What he does, left-handed, sidearm, you know, whatever he has to do, he gets it done. He's accurate with the ball even when he does it. Great escapability. He'll run if he has to. But most of the time, he's looking down the field. And just a fun player to watch.
Yeah, right? I know, but yeah. I guess it's difficult to ask somebody about the it factor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, as you just pointed out, like, you blame the draft, not Brock Purdy, right? Yeah. How do you see the it? You know, how do you know if somebody has it until you see it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
you can go back and look. There's probably just as many busts in the first round as there is in the later rounds. And so,
how are you able to just?
I don't know if there's a way, honestly.
Did you just feel calmer on big Super Bowl Sundays? Like, did you just go in the other direction? Is that what it was?
No, you just have I've always wanted to get hit first, right? Just to get me back, you know, my mind right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, otherwise you keep thinking, waiting for that first hit, and then all of a sudden things seem to change in my mind differently. I don't think, well, these guys don't get hit as much anyway, so that's probably not a big part of their game.
Mm-hmm.
But you just go into this, you know, preparation mode that, you know, helps you when you get on the field. You're not thinking about what's going to happen because they're already ready to go. And everybody prepares, but there's a different levels of preparation. And obviously these guys, and when you see Brock and you see Patrick, man, they've prepared, and you can see it because it shows up on the field. And that's why they look so calm. Nothing bothers them because that they've prepared themselves at a different level than everybody else.
What are you doing with Pfizer, Joe?
Oh, you know, I've teamed up with them. We've been talking about this lung disease called pneumococcal pneumonia that we're out just trying to get people to understand their risk. Especially they picked me because people like me who are over 65
mm-hmm.
are at higher risk. And but you're still at a risk at even younger if you have other issues like, diabetes. Mm-hmm. And asthma, they put you at a higher risk also, even when you're a lot younger, all the way down to, I think, 19, they're saying. But and what we're doing is just trying to get people aware that a vaccination can help prevent that. And if you want to know more about it, just go to knowpneumonia.com, and it's know, like, K-N-O-W, pneumonia.com.
Yeah, you're not spelling pneumonia.
No.
No, I didn't get it. P-N-E-U-M-O-N-I-A. And I needed to look down at my card for that. Knowpneumonia.com. What's your prediction for the game, Joe? What do you have?
Yep. Yeah.
Who do you have in this game? What do you got? What do you got?
Oh, you know I can't say.
Why?
I'm going to get in trouble somewhere.
Well, I mean, I I understand you played for both.
I played for both.
You've got fans in both places.
Well, I'll say this.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a good game. I don't know who's going to win, obviously.
Well,
otherwise, I would go back to the casino.
I was about to say, you'd be up the strip right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Chiefs have won a couple here recently.
Yeah.
49ers, someone just told me it's been like 30 years. And so, I don't know. I want to see a good game, but at the most, probably the 49ers.
There you go. Oh. Well, you got to know where you live, too, right?
Yeah, I live there, too. But I honestly loved Kansas City while we were there. The people were awesome. The fans are like ridiculous.
I know.
Oh, my God. Have you ever played in that stadium as an opponent? No. Oh, you wonder how it gets so loud, but they got some great, great people.
Before I let you go, there's a famous photograph of you throwing up a play in the dirt, I guess, with Bill Walsh, where you took a knee. I mean, what is the genesis of that photograph?
It looks like we're doing that, but I came to the sideline, and whatever game it was, I was exhausted. And so I just, like, took a knee, and I just said, I'll give me a second, coach, and I'll stand back up. He goes, no, just stay there. I'll come down there. And so we basically talked about what we were talking about, and we were just playing in the grass, and he was just talking about what we were going to do when I went back out after.
So you were taking a knee
take a break. Yeah.
And he's just like, don't worry, I'll meet you
I'll come down there,
Because, everybody thinks that you're drawing up a play in the dirt like it's a backyard. You know that, right?
I wouldn't have put it past him, but I think we had enough plays in our playbook, but that was just the way he was. You know, he was always conscious of how you are, how you feel, and he would even do things to make you laugh sometimes. Like the first time I threw an interception in the end zone, I used to go from the field straight to him, and not like he yelled at me, but I knew I was in trouble. When I got over there and he was doing this, right, with this little pat on his and he was looking at me, and I walked over there, and he looked me dead in the eye and said, what was that? Because it was probably a pretty bad throw. And I said, I think they call that an interception, coach. and he said to me, well, hey, try not to let that happen again, would you? I go, I'll do my best, I promise. From that point on, I went all the way around. And I went to the phone first, and before I went to Bill.
whenever you threw one?
Yeah.
I love it. That's so funny. And, Joe, really appreciate you coming by. Everybody should go to nonpneumonia.com to make sure that you are vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. Great to see you.
Great seeing you,
always
too. Always a pleasure,
you
to
got
be
it.
Here.
We got some good Roku stuff for you, Joe, because I know you're a big Roku guy. I know that. We got that for you. Thanks for coming.
How are these guys? They behaving?
Are you behaving? Well, you had hot dice last night.
I was hot dice last night, Joe.
Oh, nice.
You've been proud.
So you had that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yes.
Everybody's
good. Good to see you.
You guys have a great week.
That's Joe Montana, everybody. Right, Max Crosby when we come back here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Thanks, sir.
Can you tell me the story, the famous story of you noticing John Candy in the crowd before that 2-minute drill to the Bengals?
Harris Barton was a people person, so we were free for dinner during the week, but practice and meetings, and then come back after dinner and more meetings. So when he would come back from dinner, he was like a little kid. He could not wait to tell you about all the celebrities he saw while he was at dinner. And so we were just standing there, and between the tight end and his shoulder was framed John Candy.
And in the crowd.
He was on the sideline.
Oh, he's on the sideline.
And so I sat there and I looked and I go, dang, I don't remember Harris saying he saw John Candy.
This is what you're thinking in the Super Bowl with minutes to go and needing to drive down the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so I walked over and said, hey, man, there's John Candy. And Harris stood like this for 8 minutes. perfectly still. He was a little bit anal that way. He would not move. He was like little. I didn't do it to unwind him. I just thought he would appreciate seeing John Candy.
Did you ever meet Candy, or that was the only time?
Yeah, no, I had met John a few years before that. My contract was up.
Okay.
And he was, you know, one of the owners of the Toronto Argonauts.
Okay.
He was trying to get me to go to Canada.
Come on.
Yeah. They just didn't have enough money.
But if the price was right,
I might have been wearing an Argonaut.
You'd have a 55-yard line. You'd be like, I'll do that. So he legitimately said, you know, hey, you know.
Yeah, we had a couple meetings about it. Yeah.
You did. So this is real. Like, it wasn't oh, by the way.
No.
Wow. I love that. That was Joe last year. Now we got a great story from Bill Walsh this year. Roku and TCL have teamed up for an awesome sweepstakes this week, folks. One lucky winner will walk away from the big game with a brand new 85-inch TCL Roku TV. To enter, head to Roku's official account at Roku on X, formerly known as Twitter, and reply to their pinned tweet with who you think is going to win the game, plus the hashtag TCL Roku TV. Again, it's TCL Roku TV. That's the hashtag you need to use between now and Sunday. And you could win a brand new 85-inch TCL Roku TV.
Richard.
Fantastic. Hold on a second. Hold on a minute. We have a guest strolling. Get on here, Max Crosby.
Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, Max?
Max, take a seat. Damn, I just shook your hand. I saw you got your gut.
Oh, I'm all good. All good.
All right.
So
I didn't
want to.
I didn't just set you back, did I?
No, I'm all good.
Okay, fantastic. Good, great to see Max Crosby, a defensive end of not only just note, but he is a defensive player of the year finalist. He's here courtesy of Papa John's. Good to see you, Max. How are
you? Yes, sir. I've been doing great.
We've never really met in person. We've only been on the phone, right, or on a Zoom.
We've done a lot of, I feel like, interviews, maybe three. A lot of chatter, maybe a couple phone calls, but yeah.
Great to see you.
Finally seeing you in person.
Congrats on you blowing up, man.
Thank you, man.
You are killing it.
I appreciate it.
What would it mean for you to bring this trophy to your right to here to Las Vegas for a parade down Las Vegas Boulevard?
I mean, that's everything at the end of the day. All the work I put in, you know, I appreciate the compliments and, you know, getting recognized and things like that. But for me, that chip on my shoulder is only growing. I know there's another level I can get to. And as a player and legacy, you got to win. I've been to the playoffs one time in 5 years. So for me, I want to be a part of something that's greatness and what the Raiders used to be. And that's what we're trying to bring back.
I just noticed, and I don't know if this is purposeful or not. Usually I ask questions I only know the answer to. That's kind of my secret sauce.
Yeah.
Are you not looking at the trophy?
I'm looking at it.
Okay. I just didn't know if it's just like, you know, I'm not going to look at it unless I actually get to hold it.
No, we got three right when you walk in the building, in the facility. You got in a case looking at it. So,
by the way, I love the Al Davis t-shirt.
Thank you. Yeah, it was kind of last minute. I was looking through my t-shirts. I'm asking my wife what I should wear. And then all of a sudden I see the Al. I'm like, that's the one today.
Did Mark give it to you? Does he have like Davis t-shirts?
He's got his own
cannon. He just shoots it out.
Shoots them into the facility. Yeah. No, honestly, I found this. I don't even know. I don't really remember where I got this from.
Right.
I think a fan or something sent it to me. But yeah, this is legendary.
So, do you get 10% of Antonio Pierce's salary now? Do you get your agent cut? Do you get that?
I mean,
Max,
it could be negotiated. No. You know, it's funny. Everybody keeps saying, I appreciate you, bro. You know, saying the same type of things, man. You did your thing. But at the end of the day, being a leader is doing, you know, and standing up for what you think is right, no matter what the opinion of other people, you know, think. So at the end of the day, everybody in that building and facility all felt the same exact way. And everyone was nervous. And then you start hearing rumors and then Harbaugh, all this type of stuff. But at the end of the day, there's 31 teams and there's one Raiders. And for me, you know, I represent the Raiders fully. It's a way of life for me. And, you know, I felt like I had the voice to say something. So, like I said, you know, if I got to stand on the table and take a little bit of heat and people take it however they want, you know, say, you know, nobody's above the shield and things like that. Like, I represent the shield to the fullest every day. I got it tatted on me. Being a Raider is not doing what everybody wants you to do. It's being yourself and stepping out when it's a little bit uncomfortable. So if people don't understand that, then that's not my problem. At the end of the day, you know, I'm a Raider for life. I want to be here. I want to win here. I want Mark to have a trophy. Al won three of them. Mark hasn't won one. I haven't won one. I want all of us to be on a float in Vegas. And that's my ultimate goal.
I love it. Max Crosby here again, courtesy of Papa John's. We're up against the end of the hour and with a tight, limited time. So let's get in some of your business here. What are you doing with Papa John's? What are you doing?
Yeah, so Papa John's, they got the Vegas style pizza. You can go to VegasStylePizza at PapaJohns.com to enter. You got up until February 9th to have a chance to win $58,000. Stuffed in the crust of a pizza delivered by myself. So
you're delivering the pizza.
I'm delivering the pizza myself. It's gonna be a great deal for a great cause, and you know, we're just giving back and showing love. So yeah, shout out to Papa John's.
$58,000
in stuffed in the crust.
Wow.
Yeah, it's elaborate, but
okay, yeah,
we're making it work.
It is. Well, hopefully they tip you well at the door.
I
mean, that's the hell of a delivery.
Yeah, they tip very well.
Okay.
No question.
Fantastic. Do you have an opinion on the game? Who do you think is going to win?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be a really good game. It's going to be back and forth. But at the end of the day, it's hard to root against the Chiefs simply because Patrick Mahomes. I mean, both have great defenses, both super talented, but Pat Mahomes is the best in the league until somebody takes him down. It's hard to root against, you know, not root, obviously. I don't root for anybody. I hate
Understood.
All the teams equally. Raiders to the core, you know what I mean? But, yeah, it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes. You know, he's the best in the league until somebody, you know, proves otherwise. So I play him twice a year. I've taken him down, I believe, more than anybody. I know exactly what it looks like. And he's beaten me 8 times out of 10. And, I respect them, but we hate each other between the lines, but it's ultimate respect at the end of the day, and I think the Chiefs are going to pull it out in a tight, close game.
Okay, that's Max Crosby here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hour number 2 is coming up with Deion Sanders, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin. Don't you dare move. We are all still here on Roku for another minute plus. So when it all comes down to it, do you agree with Nick Bosa that the tackles on the Kansas City Chiefs hold a lot? Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Did you hear Nick's comments?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Do you agree with Nick?
Yeah, I mean, Nick is one of those guys. He's going to be very blunt and honest.
I've noticed.
He's very blunt, straightforward. And it's the truth. I mean, it's most tackles and linemen in general hold. I mean, it's just part of the game. And for me, I will say this. My biggest pet peeve is when guys, especially D linemen and great D linemen, or really good D linemen, like to complain about not getting holding calls. As a D lineman, you're going to get held. Every D line coach's biggest pet peeve is when the guy comes, hey, he's holding me. That's your job to not let him hold you. So at the end of the day, it's just part of the game, and it is what it is. So you have to find a way to win regardless.
Well, this has been a too brief of a visit, but hopefully I'll have you back. If you're ever in Los Angeles, I'd love to have you in studio. I invite your invitation stands anytime.
No
and
doubt.
I assume you'll be there tonight, honors?
Yes, I'll be there with my wife and my agent. You know, we're looking forward to
well,
it.
Well, hope for your time. Sake that you'll go up on stage and get some hardware.
That would be amazing. Yes, sir.
Well, good luck to you tonight. And
yes,
obviously,
sir.
I just love the whole outfit for our radio.
Yes.
Oh, look. By the way, do you notice that guy who's sitting over there?
Oh.
That's a legend right there.
I would agree.
Best of the best.
I would agree.
Best of the best.
Right, and he's right now, he's the comeback player of the year still. How many years running?
Several.
That's Deion Sanders next on the Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you, Rich.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
And here's Lil Yachty with Tierra Whack.
I've never been to a fashion show. I never did any Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and I'll tell you why. Because I would always go to events and people would say to me, oh man, Yachty, man, I love your music, bro. And she'd be like, what song? At the time, I didn't love my music. I would feel like I'm in a room with all these artists and they all respect each other. And I feel like no one respects me.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.